Hope you had a great weekend and you're ready to hit the ground running on this Monday morning, 30th of January edition of the Paul W. Smith Show. Mondays, we check in with Crain's Detroit Business Managing Editor Mike Lee. And from all the research we've done, we have found that today actually really is Monday, Michael. So it's nice to have you here. How are you and how are things at Crain's Detroit Business or CrainsDetroit.com going?
It's going very well, Paul. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. I have my ink is still wet on my copy of Crain's Detroit Business. Again, you go to CrainsDetroit.com for more information, be a part of it. But so the chips are still down. The microchips are still a problem. The shortage is not over.
Yeah, we checked in with auto repair shops at car dealerships, especially, and other repair shops. And the situation with the chips and getting replacement car parts for cars that are broken is still really bad. People are literally, you know, dropping their cars off to get them fixed and waiting months. You can't get a loaner car because there are so many people in the queue waiting for repairs. We haven't been hearing, I think, as much about the microchip shortage, and people assume that it's unwinding. And some of the dealerships say it's improving somewhat, but it's still a really an ongoing nightmare almost for those shops trying to get parts. Ford seems to be having the most trouble, but other automakers are too. It's a rough situation for them.
Well, I have to tell you, I salute the auto dealers, the first customers of the car companies, the OEMs. I salute them for dancing as fast as they can and thriving as best they can under the worst of conditions. And I
absolutely they're at the mercy of the automakers and the parts suppliers.
They are, and the automakers are at the mercy of, unfortunately, other countries, basically. I would like to think that we are rushing along and building as many chip-making facilities while we still use chips. Who knows what's next on the horizon? But hopefully this could never, once we get them all built, if we are, we'll never go through this again. But you never know. Never say never.
We've got a long way to go to get there.
A long way to go, Mike Lee. You're right about that. Front page story on some Detroit lawmakers that want the state's ban on rent control lifted.
Yeah, this interesting story kind of surprised me. There's a small push on the city council in Detroit. A couple of the council members are looking at a resolution to ask the legislature. Michigan has a statewide ban on rent control measures. And asking the legislature to lift that ban because rents have been rising really rapidly. Housing is a problem in Detroit. Developers and many economists warn that this is not the solution. It will hold down supply of housing, which will make prices go up. Rent control was originally banned. I didn't know this history previously. In 1988, under Jim Blanchard, a Democratic governor. And it was spurred by a measure in Ann Arbor that passed on rent control, and one that a similar one in Detroit, which was headed for passage. When you hear rent control, you think of New York City and the way it's affected the real estate market there, made it very expensive, although made it very cheap for some people who are lucky enough to have a rent stabilized, or the very few who have a truly rent controlled apartment. But the folks on the city council, Mary Sheffield, James Tate, they think the new Democratic legislature might be more sympathetic to this and giving local cities the option to do things like this. The New York developer, or excuse me, one developer said it's a New York solution to a Detroit problem, which I thought was pretty.
Well, I got to tell you, rent, having lived in New York City for 5 years, rent control is huge. That at least when I was there, it was a very big deal because it cost so much to live there. And some people were living in apartments that they were paying $600 rent for that would go for $6,500 had they not lived in it as long as they did and for rent control.
Absolutely. I have a friend who moved to the Williamsburg neighborhood in Brooklyn before it was cool, and rented, a 2-bedroom railroad style apartment in the mid-90s. He is still there, and he rents out one of his bedrooms, and it covers the roommate who rents the other bedroom more than covers his actual
Hey,
monthly rent
it's funny you say that.
because
Been there,
it's
done that.
stabilized.
I rented a bedroom and then found out that I was paying all of this person's rent for the bedroom. Anyway, quick question.
He's done that for years. It's incredible.
I don't know if Ann knew this. If she did, we haven't talked about it, but I didn't see it until I saw your notes, Mike Lee, and I was so sorry to see that Maggie Alice passed away. And
Yes.
I don't know how that got by me, but I didn't see it or hear it.
We learned this pretty much late Friday afternoon. Maggie Alice, longtime philanthropist, Metro Detroit's art scene, supporter of dance. She was married at one time to Bob Allison. If you're old enough, you will remember Bowling for Dollars on TV, and longtime broadcast personality.
Well, they were married until death, right? I mean, he was
Yes,
still,
Bob
yeah,
died.
okay.
Bob died 2 or 3 years ago,
Right.
and Maggie just died just after the opening of a new dance center in Bloomfield Hills, named for her, that she supported.
Not even a month after the passing of Gretchen Vallade.
Yes, two folks who were incredibly influential on the art scene around here.
And
Gretchen,
philanthropic scene, both of them
absolutely.
gave a lot of their money away, helping a lot of people that we wouldn't have even known about, but I just didn't know. So Maggie Alice passing at the age of 94. She had a good long life. It's never long enough, but it was a good long life. And I'm glad
An
you
impact.
pointed that out. And I'm glad you also pointed out something that we'll talk about more with you in the days ahead, and we'll have Sean Baligian join the conversation because you're a big fan of the USFL.
Yes, absolutely. I was excited to hear the Michigan Panthers were coming back. I remember 12-year-old when I was 12 years old going to their games at the Silver Dome. This new USFL is a different, very different USFL. It's owned by Fox Sports. They control the whole thing. It's not, Donald Trump and Al Taubman bidding up the price of talent and trying to compete with the NFL.
Yeah,
They're taking a slow, grow slow approach. It's a really interesting thing, targeted mostly at TV, and the tickets are said to be very cheap,
we
unlike
got to run,
the
Mike.
NFL.
Thank you much. We'll talk more. Mike Lee, Crain's Detroit Business Managing Editor at WJR, approaching 6:29.